the Public News Service Daily Newscast, October the 9th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. Opponents of previous efforts to build a border wall in South Texas are reeling from the Biden administration's announcement last week to resume and speed up wall construction.
In issuing the order, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security said 26 laws will be waived to construct more border wall in Starr County, Texas. Tricia Cortez, who leads the Rio Grande International Study Center, has long advocated against the wall construction and says barriers divide people and waste money.
To build something that is so ineffective, so expensive, so destructive, and that is not going to stop migration flows.
Laws that will be waived to build the wall include the Clean Water Act, Endangered Species Act, and the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA. Last month, a congressional watchdog group issued a report that found significant damage and destruction of indigenous cultural sites, wildlife, and vegetation resulted from former President Donald Trump's efforts to build his border wall. I'm Roz Brown.
Instead of more wall, Cortez believes the U.S. government should be building an infrastructure that is more logical, cost-effective, and humane to deal with periodic migrant surges that have existed for decades. Now from CNN, two 19-year-olds injured in a shooting at Bowie State University Saturday night, that in the middle of the Maryland school's homecoming weekend. Both 19-year-old men were found with gunshot wounds at the historically black university's Center for Business and Graduate Studies, and they were taken to a hospital. CNN notes the incident at Bowie State comes just days after another shooting at Morgan State University nearby. Four students there and another person were wounded when gunfire erupted at another homecoming event. And a new jail would be built in Northwest Washington if a measure on the November ballot passes. Eric Tegenhoff lets us know opponents say it's not a good solution.
Proposition 4 in Whatcom County, home to the city of Bellingham, proposes a 0.2% sales tax increase to pay for a new $137 million jail and other services such as mental health and substance abuse disorder treatment. Josh Soretti is a member of the Coalition to Transform Safety, which opposes the measure. He says voters have said no to funding a new jail twice, in 2015 and 2017.
It is the wrong funding mechanism, the wrong location, and there's no guarantee that any services will come out of this.
Soretti says sales taxes are a regressive form of taxation that puts the greatest burden on people with the lowest incomes. He also says the jail would be built on a floodplain and be bad for the environment. Supporters of the initiative say a new jail is needed because the current one is outdated and a health hazard for the people inside.
The proposition will appear on the November 7 ballot. This is Public News Service. When it comes to elections, no surprise, all eyes are on the 2024 vote. Mike Moen reports civic engagement groups in South Dakota are trying to make sure people needing help with registration are ready well ahead of time.
The Brookings Institution says by the 2028 presidential election, people under the age of 45 will serve as the majority of U.S. voters. Aaron Royer, with the group Lead South Dakota, says they're definitely working with a lot of young adults and helping them get ready to cast a ballot now and in the future. She says a common question that comes up is residency requirements, including for those who are in college or just moved back in with their parents.
We see a lot of people with temporary addresses or people who have recently moved to a new address. A lot of times people have questions about where can they vote.
Under state law, a person can spend at least one night at a specific address and qualify for residency as long as they follow through with other steps. As for voting, they have to spend at least 30 days there and re-register with their new mailing address. If it's a temporary in-state move, the person can retain the right to vote in their long-term jurisdiction.
More details on voter registration in South Dakota can be found at the Secretary of State's website. And a draft permit for the wastewater from the DTE Energy's Fermi 2 power plant is open for public comment until October the 21st.
Michigan environmental groups are pushing for changes to how water is used at the DTE Energy nuclear plant in Monroe County. Jesse Dierenwater with the advocacy group Citizens Resistance at Fermi 2 says 45 million gallons of water a day are dumped straight from the power plant into Swan Creek and Lake Erie.
But it's not the same water that went in. It's become overheated and there's extra chemicals and stuff that's added to it so that when it goes back out, the toxins dissolve or dissipate at a slow rate.
Although Michigan Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy, or EGLE, declined an interview, the agency said the current notice is for the regular 5-year permit renewal through the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System and doesn't include any significant changes to the current operating conditions at Fermi 2. Comments can be submitted through the MyEnviro portal. Farah Siddiqui reporting.
And you may not have highlighted this on your calendar, but our TRD lets us know October is National Eczema Awareness Month.
Symptoms include itchy red patches of dry skin that can appear anywhere on the body. Sudden weather changes or exposure to common household items can be irritants that trigger a flare-up. Indianapolis dermatologist Dr. Christopher Obamey advises parents what to do if their child regularly scratches.
First line of treatment is going to be using a good emollient, using a good moisturizer.
This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for starting your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on great radio stations, on your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.